Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
Hi, this is Jim Cooper, President and CEO of Isogenics International, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Yes, it is.
It's early in the morning. What am I doing up?
I had a really late night last night. Just getting ready for I'm doing an advanced trainer program, which is really my passion, down in Belize in a week. And so just finalizing some of that, it just takes a lot. It's a lot of moving parts when you're doing a 7-day program. So really excited, but lots of work, lots of focus. I feel like my eyes have sunken into my head a little bit. But what I love about building residual kind of concepts or residual ideas is that, you know, you do all the work and you have to work really bloody hard to get it done. But it has a lifespan. You know, I do the work, I build a program, and it's going to be there forever. I can keep repeating it. I can create tools around it. But obviously, when I say repeat, with my ADHD, I'm always improving, hopefully. Anyway, so how's your day going? Are you excited? I actually did a phone call the other day, and I was kind of inspired by the call. I didn't know what I was going to talk about, but I talked about something which really, really inspired me. So I thought I'd actually do a whole program about it because I think it's such a big and important subject. And so that's what's going to happen. We got like 30 minutes together today, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's exciting. But before, you know, I always start with a review that I find on iTunes. And again, if you haven't done a review, that would be awesome. They really help us with our positioning. And last week we hit number one spot. And it varies, you know, every day it goes up and down depending on the downloads. Now, I mean, one thing you could do if you really wanted to help the show is just send this to 10 friends and say, hey, just listen to one show, but tell them specifically what show that you love the best. And if you go onto iTunes, you can sort of start or go onto the website even and play that particular show, and you can just, you know, send them the link and then just say, gotta listen to this show. And that makes it much more important than saying, go and listen to a whole podcast because there's 70 shows. People don't know where to even go in right now. But if there's something you really are inspired by, that's a way. And you know, if everyone out there just got one person more to come on, you know, that would help so much because, again, the goal of the show is to reach its arms around the world. That's right. That's really what we're going to do. But this one was from E18, and it says, great voice, interviews, topics, and one heck of a boost to your day is the title of the review. It says, if you're in a rut, need some motivation, want to learn, whatever it may be, David has interviews, David and his interviews have it. First time I listened to it, I found myself listening to 4 in a row, and I had only allotted time for one. If you're a coffee drinker and need an energy boost to get your day going, this is the coffee that gets your mind focused and your butt into gear to move your life in the right direction. Along with his interviews, David explains the reasons where he's at in his life today and how it's accessible and attainable for us. And by far the best title for a podcast, Keep Rocking the Kick-Ass Life. Well, thank you very, very much. Again, I like to read those because it keeps us in touch. And again, I'm not just pulling out what I think are the best ones. I pull out the ones that I think are relevant. I have read ones that are negative. There's just not many of them. So fortunately, that is the case. So, you know, I'm really fascinated though by success, as you know, but I'm also fascinated by just life. I mean, I don't expect people to walk around, with this permagrin or this, you know, this permanent mentality. I think that, you know, life is about ebb and flow. And, you know, as long as it's about ebb and flow, you know, we are going to be going, we're going to be going sort of up and down. We're going to be in the peaks and the valleys. And I think peaks and valleys is something that most people, when they're in a valley, they're sort of comparing the wrong way, right? But so anyway, you know, I suppose ultimately we've got to look at life as a whole and ask ourselves some serious questions. What's it really about? You know, why am I here? And then the age old question, why am I here? And why so many people get in a rut? But I mean, truly, I think in the end, you know, sort of getting down to love has to be a big part of everything. And I know that sounds a little woo woo for this morning, but you know, there's so much truth in it.
As the stars shine above, you're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody.
You gotta love the old Rat Pack. Dean Martin, that is. But you know, but I mean, that whole find somebody to love, I always think it's about me loving me. You know, I can't give what I don't have. And every single person I work with, every one of these masters I work with, and the people that I really respect, I mean, it always comes down to that same question all the time, you know, which is this idea of, you know, we can only give what we have inside. We have to feed ourselves first. We have to feed up our well. And if you listen to Lisa Nichols' show or even the wonderful David Wagner, the Daymaker, you know, where they talk about doing these routines every single day where they fill their own vessel, where they fill their own well, and then they go out and give that to the world. So again, if you haven't started yet with a sort of a daily routine of positively reinforcing what's going on in your head, then, you know, that's something I really think that you should start doing. And again, if you can't think of something yourself to do it, I mean, affirmations are obviously proven to be a part of that. Vision boards, but there's no point having a vision board stuck in your drawer. Sorry, that ain't the way to do it. But I'll tell you what I thought I'd do. I was inspired that Albert Einstein had that great quote. He says that only those who attempt the absurd can achieve the impossible. And I mean, isn't that so true? And so what I really wanted to do is I really wanted to sort of think about that sort of idea. Well, what is absurd, you know? And, you know, if we look at on May 6, 1954, an unidentified announcer gave the results for a recently completed race in a track and field meet being held in Oxford University. And as he uttered the words, "In the 1 minute mile with a first place winning time of 3 minutes, the crowd erupted and sort of drowned him out with the cheering and the sheer excitement. The winner and new world record holder and the first person to finish a mile in less than 4 minutes, Dr. Roger Bannister, a young medical student, let's behold, from Oxford University." Well, his official time, once the crowd permitted the announcer to speak, was 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds. And I thought what would be fun was I'm going to play you the last minute of this race, and I want you to listen to it and just sort of, hopefully it comes through right. I mean, this is an old race, right? 1954, but see if you can hear it.
Any moment now, and we'll see the famous Bannister burst. And here he comes. Bannister goes streaking forward with about 250 yards to the tapes. Just look at his action as his long legs carry him nearer that world record. And Bannister has done it. Though he's out on his feet, his coach and team manager tell him he's a...
Look at that. That's so awesome, isn't it? That's just incredible. But that's it. That's the race right there, you know. But you have to understand that particular endeavor, from the time of the early Olympiad, they believed that this was impossible. Prior to Bannister accomplishing it, there were very, very few humans that believed that they could ever break the 4 minute mile. In fact, the experts from the athletic, medical, scientific community, they all regarded running a sub 4 minute mile as an insurmountable limitation on the human body, an insurmountable limitation on the human body. That's exactly what they said. Can you imagine that? And you got to understand that that record of 401.3, it stood unchanged for 9 previous years. But despite what the experts thought, it's what Bannister thought. That's what really was important, because in his mind, when he asked him, and remember, he wasn't a professional runner. You know, he was a doctor, right? But the question in his mind was not whether someone could run the sub 4 minute mile. For Bannister, the question that he asked was, you know, who and when. And today, when you think about it, there are people in their 30s and 40s who run sub 4 minute miles. And I'm talking about people, both men and women. And so the question for you, I suppose, today is, you know, what do you believe is possible for you? What do you believe is possible? And where do your limitations come in? Because it's so easy for us to live by self-imposed, I call it like a self-imposed prison. What boundaries or what prison, like you say, do you have in your mind? And what are you willing to do about it? You know, and there's a wonderful George Eliot always said, he says, it's never too late to be what you might have been. But, you know, there's many ways that we can do this. But we have to start really looking at our mindset differently. And by the way, if you're really interested, I created a mindset CD, and it's for free. If you go on my website, thekickasslife.com, and you'll see a little box on the right-hand side, and it's just, you know, it's the mindset. And I've sold thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of these CDs. You know, it's a short CD. But it's one of those things you can put in your car, and I've helped a lot of people create success and play over and over and over and over again. Well, with this free one, you can just download it into your iPod or iPhone or whatever like that. And I think it's one of those things, again, you have to listen to repeatedly and to sort of really get something from it. So enjoy that, a little gift for you, a little thank you for being a part of this thing. And again, you know, that has been for sale. So it's not something that I just sort of have lying around. I mean, it's something that's one of my favorite CDs in many ways. Because I truly believe it doesn't matter in the end. It doesn't matter at all, you know, what others say. It doesn't matter what we think we're doing. I mean, our results will speak for themselves, but our results are definitely going to be a reflection of how we feel, you know, what we feel of is possible, right? So, I mean, again, before we go on to this next piece, we should have a song.
Nighty night and kiss me.
You gotta love this guy's voice, don't you?
Just hold me tight and tell me you miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me.
So, I mean, when we look at our dreams, you know, and what we think is possible, you know, and then what we create, we have to get back to some of the fundamentals, you know. I mean, if you're looking at your life today, and it doesn't matter where your life's at, do you have a desire to make a change? I mean, is that the thing? Do you desire to change? And do you want things to be different from what they are? Because ultimately, without that peace, you know, without creating a higher level of awareness around yourself, your achievements. And like Bannister did, when you think of what happened with Bannisters, with that particular race, I mean, what happened that next year was that people started to believe differently. They believed that they could do it. And I mean, and now, like I said, so normal runners will believe that that is the case, right? But you think the world record today is 15 seconds less than that, 15 seconds. And that's only because one man truly believed that it was possible in his own mind. And he went out and he did it, you know, and there was something about that achievement that really, when I look back in that moment, you know, 1954, was it's really not just watching what Bannister thought, you know, because his attitude was definitely there. It wasn't a question of whether it was going to happen in spite of what people were saying. So when we look into our own life, we have to ask that question of ourselves. You know, do we really desire to want to change? Are we, when we bring this to our awareness, because awareness is the first step to transformation. We have to become aware of what is going on. and become aware of what is possible. And even though we don't need to know how, my good friend Mike Dooley says that. He says, you know, the cursed hows. It's none of our business how. But once we start getting a desire, once we start getting clear on what we want, then we have to start, you know, really knowing what that looks like. What is your, I mean, and you can choose anything. And again, when I look at my own life, and I mean, I use it as an example, but when I left school at 15, could hardly read and write. You know, I wasn't even a high school dropout. I was a dropout. And I was angry. And, you know, I was working right from the get-go in manual labor. You know, I worked on a building site. You know, I mean, God, that was the hardest work I've ever done. But, you know, window cleaning, chimney sweeping, you know, landscape gardening. You know, I was at the pub all the time. But, I mean, my life was very, very different, how I saw the world. But that world was true to me. That was the only world I knew. I didn't realize there was another world out there. I did not realize that there was a world I could create out there. There was no way in my world that I had the concept that I could make whatever I wanted. I was a victim of circumstance in many ways. And fortunately for me, what happened was I left England on a six-day trip, and I just didn't come back. And if I'd come back, then I would have been around the same influences I had, and the influences I had at the time were just none of them understood this world. None of them realized that there was another world to be had out there. And I guarantee if I went back today, and I really haven't stayed in touch with the guys that I hung out with when I left, more because, you know, our lives went in completely different directions. I mean, if you're not going to sit there smoking pot and drinking beer all day, you know, then there's not a lot more else, not a lot else to talk about. And also, I mean, I just never looked back. And it was fortunate for me because, you know, one of the things that you got to ask yourself is, who do you want to spend your time with? And who are you spending your time with? And the truth is, if you're spending your time with the wrong people, you know, then I would suggest you become aware of it, and that negative influence. And then you look at the people that you want to spend time with, and you just simply model them. Modeling is the simplest way to get anything you want in life, is just to copy those people that whatever someone successful is doing, whether it's a great feat. I mean, I always say this, well, the reason I did so well when I was traveling around the world and people liked it was because I would simply watch people doing a job and then I would attempt to do the job better. That's it. That's my secret sauce right there. It didn't matter what it was, whatever jobs, I mean, I would watch the best and then attempt to do it as well as they were doing it, and then add a little extra. Go the extra mile. Do that one extra thing. You know what? And not everyone spoke about it, but everyone noticed, right? The other thing we got to get clear on is what's holding us back, you know? Because we subscribe meanings to the events in our life, and those events, they affect how we perceive the world around us. So, you know, you've got to really look at the difference between what you say you want and what you actually believe is true, you know. And that's the thing with a lot of goal setting. People, oh yeah, I want to make $100,000 a month, but they don't believe it. And that's the thing, is we've got to get to this point with this unshakable belief. And the only way around that is to surround ourselves with dreamers. And that's why, again, I invite you, if you don't have a vehicle, if you're looking for a way to create that, you know, email me, and if we can help out, I'll point you in the right direction. I'll put you in with the right team. But there are ways for people, but it's going to take a combination of things. One is, you got to have a right vehicle. You know, you got to have a great mindset that you really want to create a change in your life, right? And you got to have accountability. There's got to be a community around you that's going to help you do it. You know, it's so, and that's why my show last week, you know, with the wonderful PK Smith about co-creation is so important. And the other part then, you know, once we know what we want, you know, we start to look at what's holding us back. You know, what's our mindset? What are we programmed around? And we got to do some work in that arena. I mean, that's certainly something that I've had to do my whole life, is I've had to keep focusing on my limitations and not focusing on them, but focusing on what I want, but noticing by results. I just look at results. I don't give a crap what people tell me. I mean, you can tell me anything you want, but I'll look at the result. If there's a result there, and I notice it, that I can see what the truth is. That's the truth to me. That's the only reality that really exists for me. And it's so much simpler. Even in my own life, when I look at it, I say, did I get the result? Didn't I get the result? I mean, I could have a podcast, one thing, you know, but if people aren't downloading it, that's a result, right? And ultimately, that's an important result. And, you know, if we've chosen, let's say, I mean, we have a wonderful host for our stuff, you know, Bluehost. And again, you know, it's on the website. If you guys want to go through that little door, they give us a little kickback. And that helps us. That helps us pay our bills, you know, and it's important to understand that. This is a business as well. I mean, I want to give to the world, but I mean, if I'm paying staff and all these kind of things, if you can help out, and all you got to do is just get, we know it's the best product. If you use it, awesome, you know, and but if you go through our door, instead of, you know, that there's a little tiny bit of money in there that comes back to us every time anyone buys, which is great. But we believe in what they're doing. We believe in their product because that's what we use. But if I was getting crappy results and the thing kept crashing, you know, I would have to look at those results and I would have to make a different judgment call. I may say, hey, it's the best, but the truth is the results are telling me something differently, right? So before we move on to this next point, I think it's time for a song, don't you?
That boat ain't got a hole in the boat. My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread.
I gotta love this guy. Like, you know, so when we look at action versus avoidance, you know, the last part of the word attraction, of course, is action. Satisfaction, action, to be satisfied, satisfaction, right? I mean, and so, you know, you gotta sort of start looking at this idea about, you know, what types of actions are you taking? You know, are they the type of actions that are going to take you closer to what you want? And most people won't do the things that are hard. I mean, if you start each day doing the things that are hard, and it's like right now, I'll be honest with you. You know, I have so much on my plate right now, and I'm committed to the show, obviously. But it just meant I had to get up at 6 a.m. and to get this done, because I have another show to do later. I have two more shows to do later on today. I'm really getting ready for this thing, and I leave in the morning, right? So, you know, it'd be very easy for me to make a bunch of excuses and not be on the air. And I noticed that with even some of the other podcasts, you know, how infrequently, and sometimes they come and sometimes they don't. But the truth is, I mean, if I've given you my word, I mean, I'm going to have to be virtually, you know, immobilized and can't speak, but then we'll find a way to do it. You know, there'll be someone step in if that was the case. So action versus avoidance. What are you avoiding in your life not to be able to do the things you want to do? You know, so we look at this great mindset of, you know, people before us have said what's possible, and we have to start to believe in that possibility. And then identifying your purpose. I mean, this is something that I think, you know, we just can't talk enough about, because, you know, if you got to know why you're here. And I remember when I discovered why I was here, and I've told this story before, but I'll tell it to you again, because some of you are brand new, and, you know, obviously listening through 71 shows is probably not going to happen. But no, I shouldn't say that. I believe it should be the case. Go back and listen to them all. but, you know, it's one of these things that you've really got to start thinking about. And sort of put our focus to. And so, you know, as I just lost my train of thought there. It's so funny, because I was thinking about something else. I thought I should play one more song. This is what's going on the back of my head right there. And then I started, it must be early in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I had a little brain fart, as my son calls it. Okay. So again, you know, we got this whole idea around purpose. And playing this bigger game. And I was saying that I realized when I got that moment, with that understanding, and I was, you know, I was at an event, my marriage is on the rocks, and my wife had asked me to go to this event. I'm sitting in the audience watching Harv Eker, and I thought his name was Herb. I had no idea who this guy was. I'd never been to one of his events. And it's their extreme program. It's their, like, most sort of like out there program. You're doing firewalks and, you know, in neepies and, you know, rock, I mean, you know, high ropes, and, you know, it's got everything in it, right? And I'm just like, whoa, you know, this is, watching him on stage, I just awoke to the moment to say, hey, this is what I'm meant to do with my life. And since that moment, I've committed my life to it. But it was a hard commitment in the beginning. It wasn't easy. I was a volunteer for almost a year. And I decided, in the same philosophy I'm talking about, when I work with Harv as his volunteer, and I can't say that I was treated the very best. It wasn't a position that people treated you like, you know, like a value. And this isn't a slant at Harv at all. Harv is a great guy. But it was just the whole, you know, the other staff members, you know, you were this, and there was a lot of competition for people to do this. And all I did was I looked at the very best. I looked what was being done, and I just kept adding things to it. And in the end, Harv had to notice. And he, of course, he did, because anyone notices when somebody does an exceptional job, and then they add things that he'd never thought of before. And I'll give you an example. I mean, Harv has a table on his stage, which is set identically the same way every single time. And in fact, there's a schematic for the table. So the flowers go here, the pens go here, the pad goes here, the water goes here, the tea goes here, you know, and it's all laid out perfectly. You know, and he has a little table backstage for the breaks. And I realized that there was just a table back there, nothing else. So what I did is I set it up the same way. I put a little thing of flowers, I put some pens, and I put the paper and everything else like that. So the first time he went there, I saw him stop, and he'd been training for years, and look at this little table behind the stage, which was always just blank, right? And it was a mirror image of what I saw on stage. I saw that that was important to him. How hard was it for me? Nothing. I mean, I was like, you know, I'm waiting for him to get off stage. I'm a volunteer. I'm his assistant, right? Making sure that he has everything he needs to do a great job. But it took, in my mind, I mean, part of the reason I'm able to train the way I am, if my attitude had been different, there's a great chance I would never have got on that stage. And if I hadn't have gotten on that stage, there's a great chance I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, because I wouldn't have believed it to be true. What I believe to be true at the moment when I made the decision, I looked up at my wife, Pam, at the time, and I said, "Hey, Pam," I said, "I'm going to teach this program." And she looked at me and she says, "I know you are," right? So anyway, before we finish this last little piece, let's have another song.
Mambo Italiano, try an angelada with the fish bacalà, and then hey, rumba, I love how you dance the rumba. But take some advice, paisano, learn how to mambo. If you're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Hey, mambo, mambo Italiano, hey, mambo, mambo Italiano, go, go, Joe.
You know, hey, listen, and the big thing is you got to stop making excuses, right? You know, if you're making an excuse, there's, you know, reasons or results. If you have a reason why something didn't happen, you haven't got a result. And just don't even go there. You know, if you have to get up earlier, you have to work longer, if you have to, you know, sacrifice certain things to get things done, that's what it's going to take. Bannister, you know, wasn't able to run a medical practice or go to school for medicine and then run like he did if he wasn't out there on the track, you know, and really, really pushing himself. And so I really want to remind you again that people like this stories like this. Maybe you haven't gone on YouTube and watched that race. Watch the whole race. Think of that moment in history where, you know, for 9 years the record hadn't been touched, and from the time of the Olympiad, you know, no one believed it was possible, and all the experts said that the body, I mean, they thought the body was going to sort of suddenly break down if we pushed it. Now it's 15 seconds under that. You know, and I obviously training's got better and all these equipment's got better, but we're talking about a pair of shoes here, right? So again, as you sort of go into today, I suppose I'm really excited about this sort of feeling that anything is possible. And I want you to think like you're part of a big quantum soup, you know, that everything's connected. In other words, the law of attraction is, in other words, everything's already in your soup. You know, all the money you want is in your soup. All the health you want is in your soup. All the relationships you want are in your soup. And you're already connected to them through some quantum process. And I do believe this is true. I believe that everything I want, I already have. You know, and if you listen to the wonderful Don Miguel Ruiz, he talks about that. It's all already within us. Everything that we want is already within us. We just got to know we're a part. It's a part of us. But conditioning, you know, crappy parents and crappy, you know, being bullied and, you know, we were attacked when we were a kid or something worse happened, you know, those things, you know, they leave these big scars, these wounds, you know, and those wounds start to create a story for us of what we think is true and what we think is possible. And the truth is, it's all bullshit. If it's not the most powerful and positive thinking, then you got to think it's just a line of crap. And then we have to make the decision. So what story do I want to tell myself? Now imagine that you may be sitting there right now thinking, oh, what a line of bullshit this is. Great. And I can guarantee one thing, you're probably broke. And you're probably not as happy as you want. You know, and my favorite saying that I wrote, which is, you know, stop taking advice from broken, happy people. Stop taking advice and stop being one. You know, don't give advice. If you're broke and unhappy, don't give anyone advice about how to live. Don't give that. Don't even think for a moment that you should, unless it's positive, unless you decide to look outside of the realm of brokenness or unhappiness and say something so enlightening. And you can do that only by surrounding yourself with people like that who think this way and reading those kinds of quotes or books. If you can't read a whole book, read a quote every day. And then focus on that quote. What does it really mean? How do I bring that to life in my own life? And then give advice. Hey, go for it. Go for that dream. I believe in you. I believe in you. You know, you're amazing. You can do anything you want. Absolutely, right? So again, you know, as I was just inspired by this call the other day and that I gave and the Roger Bannister 4-minute mile and just what that really means to me about what is possible. And the truth is, everything's possible. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will see you on the other side. Bye.
That was kick ass.